Vegas Bad Boys Podcast presents Matt Michaels, People I Don't Hate.
Hey everybody, Matt Michaels here, and I'm joined by King Lucky for this incredible interview with one of the best up-and-comers that I've ever seen. And I've seen now about 20 years of, guys just getting into the business, trying to make it. But this is one guy that I would say has every little thing to make it to the stratosphere, and that is the one and only Class. What's up, Mr. Hashtag best looking in the van.
Best looking man in the van.
Yeah.
Hashtag Colossus of Class. Hottest male rock in the Richter scale. Prince of Privilege. I can go on all day.
You know, you just said a word, Richter scale. Has anyone ever compared you to Sean Ricker?
You know, that's a good question. I don't think it's something that's been maybe once or twice, but nothing that comes to mind.
Okay. I was just wondering that because.
Yeah.
Right?
I can see it. Totally.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean.
Appreciate that. That's a huge compliment for sure.
Oh, absolutely. It's meant nothing more than a compliment because I appreciate everything that, you know, he's ever done. And he, you know, again, kind of, you know, started out, made his way, and now is at the point where he's such a established wrestler. What was it for you that got you going and got the bug to actually pursue wrestling? Did you see this as you were a kid growing up? Did you see wrestling in your future? Or was this something that, you know, you train, you work out, and then one of the days you're in the gym, here's one of the guys that says, hey, you should check this out.
Yeah, so my story, it's like kind of a long drawn out story where I, like anyone who grew up in the 90s, I was a huge fan of the Attitude Era and that whole genre of wrestling, if you will. And I kind of got away from it for a while. And, you know, like mid 2000s, I was kind of away from it. And then some of the guys I lived with when I was going to undergrad were big wrestling fans, and it kind of got me back into it and fired up a little bit. And so there was a guy I lived with. He had gotten into a little trouble. He got a DUI and he was kind of down in the dumps. And so he wasn't doing anything. And one day he comes to me, he's like, hey bro, like I found this wrestling camp. Would you go to it with me? And I was being a good friend. I was like, yeah, of course. Let's do it. Let's go. And so we hammered out the details, and I think it was 2013. It was Harley Race's like week long seminar.
Oh, nice.
And so I had no idea what I was getting into. Going in there, you know, at the time I was maybe 190, 200 pounds. And sure. I was like, I'm going to be a midget in there, you know, just because my idea of pro wrestlers was they're larger than life. Right. And so we go to Harley Race's camp and we spend a week there. And I was like, this is incredible. This is amazing. I would love to do this more. And that's what really got the bug going again. So then I was finishing up undergrad in Nebraska at the time. And there was nowhere, that was the closest place to train to become a pro wrestler was at Harley Race's school. And at the time it was in Eldon, Missouri, which was like 8 hours away. Yeah. So it was kind of unrealistic at that point. And so when I got into grad school in Phoenix, I was like, okay, Phoenix is huge. There's got to be a school here. And I looked up, sure enough, I found a school and I was like, okay, this is something I've always wanted to do, but never had really any concept for how one becomes a professional wrestler. And so I told myself, I was like, if I turned 40 and didn't give this a shot, I'm going to hate myself. And so I went in, I started training. It went really well, which, I mean, I'm not really surprised about, but, and then here we are today and the bug is bigger than ever. And, yeah, that's kind of how things got started for me.
Who do you credit for, I don't want to say who do you credit for the training, because there's so many different people that go into training a lot of times, but is there one or two particular people who stand out that, you know, have been kind of the guiding light for you in terms of what you've been learning and how you've been developing?
For sure. you guys know them very well. Dom and Gallo, 150%. Those guys have been so awesome and so helpful, and just you know, kind of helped guide me to get to this point. And I plan to continue to, you know, rely on them and look at them as massive mentors for as long as I'm able to go in this business. Those guys they're incredible. And it's interesting. So when I first started training, you know, you guys have talked to them about the whole bully thing. And that's when I started training, was really when that was like picking up steam. And so they weren't coming around at that time very often. And like the rumors were just ridiculous. Like, those guys are assholes. Those guys are like, they're out of touch, this and that, this and that. And like the couple of times they did come in, it was super valuable. And I don't know if it's because I'm smarter than everyone else or what, but I was like, these guys have a lot of good things to say and a lot to offer.
Yeah.
And it was to the point where people are like, yeah, like Dom and Gallo are dicks, but Dom's cool when he's not around Gallo. And I was like, oh, you spend a lot of time with him to know that? And they'd be like, well, no. I'm like, yeah, you're stupid. Stop. And so then they started coming a little bit more, and they've just been awesome. And if you ask for help and you can take constructive feedback, which I think any successful person should be able to do, you know, they're going to be essential for your growth.
Yeah.
You mentioned watching and growing up, you know, watching wrestling in the 90s, kind of got away from it, but who were some of your favorites, you know, that you gravitated towards when you started?
First and foremost, it was The Rock for me. I was a Rock guy over a Stone Cold guy. And he just felt like a big deal to me when I was a little kid watching him. He spoke in the third person. He talked shit better than anybody else. He looked great. He just, everything about him screamed, you know, success, number one, the best. And for me, that was really my guy who I gravitated towards, and everything kind of revolved around for me.
Yeah. For people that are just getting an introduction to you, class is something that's broken down. Can you tell the people at home what it actually means?
Yeah, so CLASS stands for Christopher Landon Anthony Streeter, which is my full name. And, you know, it's funny that it works out that way, but it kind of does. And so, like, the way my life has gone since the second I came out of the womb has been one that some might call privileged, or one that has been, you know, more fortunate than others. So it just kind of fits and it works. So I'm able to kind of run with that a little bit and really, really just show off who I am and make that work.
Is that something that you've, you know, a lot of times when you use your persona to kind of elevate the character, you have a formula that's, you know, better than anything else you can do, that's a fake character. So you're bringing yourself to it. Do you ever get the fan confusion between thinking that, you know, not just the character is a real asshole, but the person is a real asshole?
So somewhat, yeah. So I think what you're asking is, do people ever say like, oh, he's just working or something like that?
Yeah, as compared to, you know, I mean, because, you know, for instance, The Rock was a great example. You know, he came off as an arrogant asshole and he was the heel like that. But Dwayne is the sweetest dude in the world.
Right.
And, you know, with you being, so, you know, in the independents right now, as compared to the national level, I think it's easier for people to just associate you playing yourself and therefore you're an asshole.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that makes sense. And that's kind of been my experience, at least to this point. And,
so you're doing, you're doing your job well.
I'm just trying to be kind of myself, which oftentimes doesn't come off well to people. And it's like, I don't have time for a lot of people's crap, you know.
Yeah.
Like I work in the healthcare industry, and so I deal with a lot of shit on a day-to-day basis. and I have to deal with a lot of people who are less than capable. And so then to experience that outside of work is the last thing I want to do. So that's kind of where I'm at with that.
Right. Now, since you've been wrestling, you've been fortunate enough to wrestle in different towns and cities, things like that. Alaska.
Yeah.
How crazy was that?
That was wild. And that's so Alaska, everything that I did up there, I have to thank Gallo for. So when I found out I was going to go do my residency up there, Gallo said he knew someone who ran shows up there. And so he gave me his contact information. I reached out to them and, you know, then they plugged me in and I was able to do really well up there. And so I had no idea that there was professional wrestling in Alaska. And I don't think a lot of people do. I think that's the last place you would look for professional wrestling. And so it was such a nice surprise to be able to work. It was probably once a month on average, maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit less sometimes. But it was good. And it was just good to get in front of a ring, work in front of a different crowd. And then we had a cool opportunity to do that WrestlePro show that came up there in April of, 2019, I think. Yeah. And that was a really cool opportunity to see that big, that large scale of a show come to Alaska and be a part of it.
Right now, you traditionally do Arizona, but you're making your way into Vegas, baby. What's that like?
It's the best, man. The big city, the bright lights, Sin City. It's great, and it feels like it's going to be a great spot for me to really, really hone in on what I'm doing and just expand my horizons a little bit. And, you know, the big city feel of Vegas just feels appropriate for class, and it's just kind of a match made in heaven.
Well, oh, yeah. What's very intriguing is, with FSW, Hammerstone basically credits FSW as his home. Yep. You know, he's gone through being that, starting off as that Thor babyface into this incredible heel. And now the fans, because he's been around so long, are basically turning him back into a face.
Yep.
And you are, might I say, one of the perfect elements starting to fall into place. Do we see a Hammerstone class clash coming up?
I wouldn't put it out of the realm of possibilities. Yeah. I mean, obviously Hammerstone has some physical superiority. I'm not going to say he has the physical edge, but he definitely has the size right now.
Yeah.
But I'm going to give myself the intellectual edge for sure. I mean, I'm in the top 1% in the entire world with my intellect and with my accomplishments in that realm. So I wouldn't put it out of the realm. And I think it'd be a really cool matchup to see his strength in brawn versus my brains and good look.
Have you guys gotten a chance to roll around a bit in the ring? Just through
we've never had a formal match, but we've rolled around a bit in nothing too serious, nothing too, like I said, formal, but yeah, we've had opportunities to kind of feel each other out a little bit.
Nice. Go ahead, Lucky.
How inspiring is it for you, like when you visit a school like FSW and you're starting to work there? They've recently had people go up to the big companies like Chris Bay and Karrion Kross. How inspiring is that to you?
Yeah, it's extremely inspiring, because if this company has so many people who are successful rolling through it, then they must be doing something right. And there must be a good thing going on there. And so for me, one thing I'm trying to do, and I think I've been pretty successful at for the most part, is being selective about places that I want to work. I don't want to necessarily work for people who are, you know, just kind of, to quote the great Cornette, outlaw mud show type people. And so FSW seems like, from my experience, extremely professional, extremely high class, pun intended, and just somewhere that you would want to be, especially in the Southwest, one of the top promotions in this kind of triangle of cities that we have here. So yeah, extremely inspiring, and so far it's been a great place to be for sure.
What have you thought about the reaction the crowd here in Vegas has had towards you? I saw you, it was about 2 weeks ago, and you just ran last night, and we're probably going to air this later, so I just dated myself. But
all good.
As you're you know, experiencing the crowd, are you getting that that hate, which is actually love because you're doing your job right?
You know, I think right when I came out last night, they didn't seem very happy to see me, which I don't think, and I didn't do anything. I'm just going out there in my beautiful expensive robe, looking the way I look, and they didn't seem to like that, which is not uncommon when I walk out. You know, I've got the hair, I've got the tan, I've got the muscles, I've got the gear, I've got the robe. And for me, it's like, okay, when I watched professional wrestling when I was a kid and I saw these larger than life people who were the epitome of success, the epitome of professional wrestlers, that was my idea of a professional wrestler, not necessarily someone who is 140 pounds soaking wet and unathletic and not in shape and pale white, right? So for me, it's a little surprising to see that they're booing someone who they should have strived to be more like, whereas they're not booing the people who remind them of themselves. So that's kind of where we're at with the crowd reaction at this point.
Oh, go ahead, Lucky.
I gotta tell you, that robe is, you know, I think it's just amazing. And, you know, with FSW now going into, you know, TV, and they're doing recordings and stuff like that, I mean, you just come off like a movie star with that robe, the look, the physique. You know, it's just, sky's the limit for you.
Yeah.
So I understand why they're mad.
I appreciate that. And last night it was a little funny. Some of the boys were telling me, so I like, I'm just being respectful when I come out. I get in the ring and I like to slowly undo the robe and show everybody my physique. Just, you know, give them a little glimpse, and they're not paying that much. They just have to buy a ticket where they should be paying a little more maybe. But I opened the physique and the camera was shot from behind at that point. And so the people who were watching the monitor said it looked like I was flashing the crowd when I did that. But then they panned right away to the other side. So it ended up turning out good. But that cracked me up when I heard that.
You know, speaking of doing TV, what has that experience been like? You know, just getting opportunities like FSW. I think have you had experience working with Dave Marquez too, right?
I haven't worked directly with Dave Marquez. I've worked a couple times for CWFAZ. He has not been there the times I've worked. So with more Peter Avalon.
Yeah,
was kind of the main one there. But it's good, and I don't have a ton of TV experience, and so being able to do that, and you know, in getting this rhythm of doing those TV matches and knowing where the cameras are at, how to work the cameras, how to run the ropes for the cameras, and you know, then have a TV match, which is always a different style, typically, and a lot shorter in most cases than your typical like indie house show match.
Right. In terms of being in front of a camera, you said you didn't have much experience. Have you ever had experience, and Lucky kind of said this, being an actor, or do you have any aspirations into going into acting?
Yeah, so I've been in one movie before, and it's not a popular movie or even a well-known movie by any means, but when I was playing college baseball in New York City, our assistant coach did some stuff with MLB Network, and so he was kind of involved with that. And our home stadium was beautiful. It was the Tampa Bay Devil Rays' single A stadium, and we shared that as our home stadium. And it was, you know, it was a little bit upstate, which was weird. So it was like an hour drive from the city, but it was worth it. It was gorgeous. And so one day he just comes in and he said, "Who wants to be in a movie?" And so obviously I was like, "Well, I do." And so a couple of us got on the bus, we drove up there, and there was this movie that it was a really good idea. So it was all these old ball players who had like retired. They're in their 40s and their 50s, and they get in their old locker room and they start telling stories, and each person's story that they tell then flashes back to the scene, and then they shoot the scene for whatever story they're describing. Gotcha. So right, great idea, right? Like it could work. The movie didn't turn out to be as great as the idea was, but I have a little part in that movie, and it's called, for anyone who's interested, it's called Reunion 108.
Okay. And
it's like I said, not the best, but it was a fun experience.
So let me ask you then, if the movie would have taken off, we probably wouldn't have got a chance to see In the Ring.
That's a good point. That's a good point. I think I played my role pretty well. And more than 100 people had seen it, we could be doing this under different pretenses for sure.
That's true.
But yeah, to answer your second question, I would love the opportunity to do any sort of acting opportunities that come along. And right now things are super, super busy. I haven't really had time to like pursue that at all. And I really am focused on wrestling at this point, but sure, further on down the road, absolutely.
You mentioned baseball. What position did you play in? What was your trajectory of your career? Did you just play in college? Was there any aspirations of playing further?
Yeah. So high school all the way through, I played everything pretty much. And in college, I ended up catching and then playing left field when I wasn't catching. And so there were aspirations to go further. At the time I was playing, I knew that I wanted to pursue becoming a doctor. And I saw my career in baseball being a pretty long road at that point. And I also understood that the road to becoming a doctor was a pretty long road.
Right.
And to me, it became a values decision, right? Do I value playing baseball now and then becoming a doctor in my 30s or 40s or vice versa? And for me, it was more values consistent to hang up the cleats and then pursue becoming a doctor. And then thankfully, while I was doing that, wrestling came along. And so that's really filled that gap, essentially.
Yeah. You know, speaking of being a doctor, and we have, a once in a generation experience going on with this pandemic. You know, how have things been for you in terms of, looking at what's going on in the healthcare industry? And is this something that makes you even more passionate when you're seeing so many people who, are getting ill or, at least taking up hospital space and just the problems that come along with a pandemic?
Yeah, I think it's really, really increased my appreciation for like the nursing staff and just the people who are still having to work in the hospital. So I was pretty fortunate enough to be able to work most of my time from home and not have to go into the hospital very often during the pandemic. Like for example, now I go in 2 days a week and work from home 2 days a week. But we had at our hospital, at the hospital I work at, it was like all hands on deck. And so we had nurses working in the COVID units who were not typically frontline nurses, same with physicians, same with techs. And so my respect for those individuals was high already, having worked in the medical field for quite a while now. And then just after seeing what they're going through is exponential. And I think, the utmost respect goes out to those guys for putting their lives on the line every single day for everyone else's well-being and health. So I really got to put them over for that and all the work they're doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, we've been now locked down for, maybe 7 months.
I know.
What's something that you've learned about yourself or a skill that you've kind of acquired during this time?
Okay. Yeah. Good question. And I feel like for me, what I've seen on social media for other people going through that, there's kind of two sides of the coin, right? There's the people who really said, life sucks right now. We can't do anything. I'm going to turn up the volume and really just dive head in to what I'm doing. And there's other people who say, who use it more as an excuse to not do as much. And so I definitely fall on the former side of that coin. And one thing I learned is that I'm extremely, extremely motivated and don't let, bullshit things get in the way of what I want to do. And so, for example, the gym's closed. I said, okay. I hired a personal trainer who had his own private gym that I could go train at.
Nice.
And so, stuff like that, I was able to fork over the money, thankfully, because, I'm a doctor and I can afford it. But I was able to train with him and continue. And actually, right now, I'm in the best shape of my life for sure. And I really attribute that to not taking that time off. And so, and that's another thing I have to credit Dom and Gallo for too, was right when it started, they were posting workouts in our in our group forum and stuff. And that was huge, just to, different things that we could do at home. And so, I think for me, to simplify the answer to the question, I learned that That's my dog. If you heard him whining back there,
that's quite all right.
Yeah. So yeah, I learned that, you know, I'm not going to let other things get in the way, and it really just simplified the things that I want and what I need to do to work towards them, which I'm pretty grateful for. So I feel like I was able to turn for myself a lot of this, the issues that come along with the pandemic, into a big positive for myself.
And you got to figure too, if you're looking at Dom and Gallo doing workout videos, I mean, you obviously go, well, if these 65-year-old men can do it, I can do it.
Yeah, I think Gallo's pushing 75 these days. But yeah, absolutely. Like, those guys definitely set the bar pretty high for us. And it, like, couldn't ask for better leadership there.
Yeah.
I was going to bury Gallo a little bit more, but I'll leave it.
Let me just ask you this: with work and wrestling, you know, when you finally do have a moment or so for downtime, what's some things that you really enjoy?
The downtime is very rare for me. So when I get it, I really like it. And things that I like to do are get away from people, go up into the mountains, go fly fishing, go hunting. Those are some things and some skills that I learned early on as a young kid. So I like to do that. But when I'm in Scottsdale hanging out, I like to go to brunch. I like to get mimosas. I like to go out and be around other beautiful people, because it's just nice to be around that. Because a lot of the wrestling fans, you know, not so much. So I like to get with my people in Scottsdale and really just kind of, it's like, all right, I see more people like me. So yeah, when I'm here, I'm going out, going into Scottsdale and kind of, you know, getting brunch, getting drinks, going out to dinner. And when I can sneak away, I'm going camping, fly fishing, stuff like that.
Do you do a lot of reading?
You know, I don't have a lot of time to read. So I don't know. For me, I listen to a lot of books and podcasts.
Sure.
Because I spend a lot of time driving, like to and from work, to and from training, to and from the gym. And in Phoenix, maybe Vegas is the same, but in Phoenix, it's kind of like you're guaranteed 30 minutes, you know, kind of wherever you're going to go. So there's time in the car.
Yeah.
So I try to use that time to listen to a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Speaking of driving, you just gave me the perfect segue. What the fuck happened where you hit a moose?
You heard about that, huh?
Yeah. What's the story behind this? This is, I mean, fascinating to me.
All right. Fair enough. So I'm wrapping up stuff in Alaska, ready to move back down to Phoenix. I sold my truck I had at the time. I bought this brand new F-150, $60,000. The one I have now, it's jet black. It's leather. It's freaking beautiful, man. Oh. And I've had it for 3 weeks or so. And so if you're not familiar with the drive to and from Alaska, there's basically one highway, and most of it's two lanes.
Wow.
And it takes, like, when I drove up, it took 5 days to get from Montana to Anchorage, Alaska.
Wow.
So I had a buddy driving with me. And of course, we started the trip and we're like, we're not going to drive at night. We don't want to do that. It's stupid. And then the night before we left, we were sitting there, we're all fired up. We were awake. Let's just go. Let's just do it. It'll be a great idea.
Oh, no.
But, like, to be fair, the summer in Alaska, it doesn't get fully dark. So it's like dusty, right? And so we're like, okay, this isn't that bad. So we drive the first day. Everything goes well. We make it like 16 hours. We get an Airbnb in the Yukon. And we get there at like 4 o'clock. We fall asleep right away. We wake up at 9 o'clock. And we're like, shit, well, we're not going back to sleep. So we get back in the truck at night. We start driving. We are, I don't know, 3 hours away from the capital of the Yukon, 10 hours away from Edmonton, which is the next significant town.
Right.
Two-lane highway, 2 o'clock in the morning, driving 70 miles an hour. All of a sudden, this moose, and so it's two-lane highway, ridges on each side with just like shrubs, but pretty steep, probably 20 or 30 feet on either side. No guardrail.
We're
in the Yukon.
Oh, man.
All of a sudden, this moose jumps up, and I slam on the brakes. We smash it, and we were okay. We looked at each other. We were okay. My dog was in the back, and he's a little bulldog, so he's just a kind of funny guy anyway. All the bags had fallen on him, and he was, like, swimming to get out. And then we started laughing, which was probably a good thing, because we kind of, like, minimized the shock. So we were all right. We get out. We look at the whole front of the truck is just crunched. It's smoking. Oh. There's liquid everywhere. And I was like, oh, I just bought this. God bless it. Okay. We can't find the moose. Turn the engine on. Engine turns on okay. So like, all right. Start trying to putt, and then the engine goes overheating. Please shut off. Or like, you need to shut off the engine.
Man.
Oh, shit. So we shut the engine off. Of course, we don't have service because we're, again, in the middle of the Yukon territory. It's 2:30 in the morning. We haven't seen a car in like an hour. And so we kind of sat there for 20 minutes. No cars are coming by, no service. Like, we're pretty freaking stuck, man. And so we turned the truck back on. There was like a hill, just, I don't know, half a mile down that we could see. I was like, maybe we'll get some service there. So we get up to the edge of the hill, no service, but there's a sign that says rest stop 2 kilometers and it's downhill. So we're like, okay. So I put it in neutral, roll down into this rest stop. And right when we get there, the engine thing comes on, we cut it off. And it's like, it's sketchy. It's like Hills Have Eyes type of thing, like compound. There's this building that looks like a big trailer house with the flickering motel light. And there's no cars everywhere. There's a payphone that's disconnected. Okay. We go into the hotel room, and there's a sign. There's a little like a little keychain with keys hanging, and a sign that says, "Pick a key, pick a room, pay in the morning." This feels unsafe. Yeah. So we look at some of the rooms, and I was like, bro, I am not sleeping in here. This is disgusting.
Right.
So we go back in the truck, and we sit down and like trying to get service. There's nothing. And we sit there for a little bit. My buddy gets frustrated. He's like, well, I'm sleeping in one of these rooms. I'm not sleeping in this truck, you know? So all right, do your thing. So he goes and sleeps in there. Sun comes up. I start like going over to the like little convenience store, excuse me, to see if they can hook up with their phone, right. Tell them what happened. And so I go, I'm like, hey, you know, we hit a moose up the road last night. There's no service. Can I use your guys' phone? She goes, oh, I'm sorry. The phone lines are out. Like, oh, okay. When are they going to be fixed? She said, well, they said they could be out here in about 2 weeks. Right. Yeah. Like, are you fucking kidding me? So she goes, the guy over there, the guy that owns the place, he has a Wi-Fi signal. It's kind of weak. You can go hook into it and try to use that. So I go hook into it. I can't text anyone because it's too slow, but I was able to file a claim somehow and then message a friend back in Anchorage through Instagram, my AAA information.
Wow.
And so he was able to then call a tow truck from this town called Watson Lake that was 2 hours away, and they came and got us. And so it was a long day. And one other quick story after that is we went to go pay for the room, and I was like, how much do I owe you? And the guy's like, $100. Like, $100 for that shit room that you had? Fine, here you go. Here's your $100. And so it was like, he was a swindler, man. He was trying to like get me to sell him the truck for like $5,000. He was trying to get everything out of us that he could. So that it was quite the experience. And the funny thing is, the story does not end there. There's more to the story.
Oh, keep going.
So this guy shows up in a tow truck at the end of the day, like 5 o'clock, and he's this small Irish Canadian man who just a riot, charisma for days. And he hooks the truck up, cracks a beer open, and says, sorry boys, I would have brought you some, but I only had two and they're both for me. Like, great, okay. But he was fun. We made it safe. It was all good. And so he took us to this town, Watson Lake, got us checked into a hotel. We check into the room, and then my buddy and I are going to go eat. We're looking around, like, he grabs his wallet. I can't find mine.
Oh, no.
Still can't find mine. We tear the room apart, go up to the front desk. It's not there. Shit, what happened to it? And so we're hungry. We're going to go eat. We come back. I still can't find it. We tear the room apart. And finally, the next day, we walk back to the truck where it's at this shop where they're going to fix it, auto body shop, and it's not in the truck. I think it's gone. I think I lost it or it got stolen. And so we start asking to see the security cameras from the like lobby in the hotel that we were staying at. And they're giving us some pushback because it's Watson Lake in the Yukon. There's like 1,000 people there and everyone's cranky about tourists, right? Like, who the hell are you guys coming to our town to see our videotapes? And so sure enough, a couple days later, we got the police involved. We look at the tapes. And what happened was when we checked in, I had my dog in one hand. I had bags in the other hand. I paid for the room, set my wallet on the desk. And then we walked to the room. So this guy comes down from upstairs, maybe like 5 minutes after we checked in. And you see him kind of talking to the guy. You see him see the wallet, do the double take. And then he walks over to the guy and starts talking to him. And you can see this clear as day on the camera. He starts doing this to slide it over out of the guy's view. And then he like points at something out the window. The clerk looks, he knocks it off the table, picks it up and walks out. And that was it. So my wallet got stolen the same day that I hit a moose in my $60,000 brand new pickup.
Ouch.
Holy shit. Yes.
So it was quite the day. But you know, what are you going to do? And we, after 5 days of staying in the town, all the parts finally came in to fix the truck enough to get us back to Montana. And then we drove straight through to get the hell out of Canada and the Yukon.
Oh my God.
So long. I had to earn getting back to Arizona. It was a real challenge, but I made it nonetheless.
Jeez. And that was the end. That was like the end of your residency for school, right? That was like,
yep.
So basically everything is wrapped up. You're finally getting home, and then that fucking, what a movie that would make.
I know. Like, yeah, what a story. And it was interesting, man. There were some interesting characters in that town that we were forced to interact with a little bit, but yeah, I think there's ultimate opportunities for some sort of story to be told there.
You mentioned the guy had beers. What's your favorite drink of choice?
Drink of choice. I am a fan of Manhattans. I'm a fan of I like a good mule. I like a good mimosa for breakfast.
Yeah.
And if I'm just sitting at home having drinks, I'll be sipping like Gentleman Jack or maybe some McClellan's 15 year.
Nice, good choices. Yeah. What is, you know, you said you don't have a lot of time, you know, you're pursuing wrestling, you've got the doctor stuff, you like to do the fishing and all that good stuff, but what's your go-to in terms of if you have a chance to look at a Netflix flick or, you know, something that you own, what's your go-to movie or television series, man?
Ooh. Go-to movie for me is Wolf of Wall Street. That's probably my favorite movie right now. And it has been since it came out. I love it.
Yeah.
The Matthew McConaughey scene, man, that gets me fired up every time. I love it. That's my go-to movie. If I need to fire up for something, I'll watch that and get motivated. For shows, let's see. I just finished the show Hell on Wheels that I thought was pretty good.
Nice.
About the railroad being made. I really enjoyed that. And I'm kind of someone who, I'm kind of a history buff as well. History was my minor in college, so I like historical things that are built in reality. I'm not as into the superhero stuff and the Marvel and the DC stuff as a lot of people are, I'm finding.
Sure.
But favorite shows of all time, maybe I'll give you my top five.
Yeah.
Go with that. Top five, not in any specific order, are Sopranos, Lost, Seinfeld, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and then probably Entourage would be in the top five.
That's a good list. That's a very good list. Always Sunny in Philadelphia, season 3, they did an episode where they were doing the takeoff on the movie where Mark Wahlberg became a walk-on player for the Eagles.
Yes.
And they had that episode. I am one of the football players that was trying out. Yeah. Yep. It was
no way.
It was a fucking great day. I'll tell you.
Man. Yeah, tell me about it. What'd you guys do?
Well, you know what? It's so they were looking for football players. My agent, I think it was my agent, got me in on this one. Not speaking or anything, but you know, just the background atmosphere, if you want to call it.
Sure.
But Fred Savage was directing. Okay. So that in itself, I got a chance to, we did it at a local community college in LA at LA Valley College. And between where they had the camp set up and the actual football field, because it was, you know, basically just a grassy field, you had to take a little car ride. So I got a chance to sit down and talk to Fred Savage while driving in the, over to the set, which was awesome. And then the, you know, all the guy, Charlie and all them, they were, Glenn, so cool.
Really?
You could see them, like, they would go and they would watch a take, and then they would just kind of brainstorm, throw, you know, little improv ideas off each other, you know, so they would build more padding to the actual script. But the coolest part was that, Jeffrey Owens, I think is his last name, the one who played on The Cosby Show.
Yep.
he comes in and they said he's Donovan McNabb, and he's cutting, you know, the quick commercial about McDonald's. Hey, I'm loving it. It was just so much fucking fun, because everywhere you turned on that set, there wasn't tension. It was, everyone was just kind of having a good time. What's her face? The
Glenn Olsen.
Yeah, Kip. The poor girl had to wear that fucking fake mustache all fucking day. You know.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they were doing you know, just literally the one scene, they had a pad down, and they were literally taking hits, tackles. In front of the cut, you'd think, you know, stunt people, nope, they'll take it. It was fucking,
like,
amazing.
Screw it,
man.
We're doing it ourselves.
Oh yeah, man, that was like the it was the closest thing that I've experienced on a set to the mentality you have as like a high school person in a in theater, like, you know, okay, hey guys, we're just gonna, you know, put on a show. It was like, and everyone was down to earth. You could talk to them. There was no like, you know, putting up a wall. DeVito was not on set because he was they did all the, his character was doing all the parking lot stuff, the tailgating, waiting for them to get through the,
Was that when he dropped acid and ended up in the bathroom of the motorhome?
Yeah. and the ones with the eyebrows, their rivals.
Oh yeah,
O'Doul. O'Doul's. They were on set doing the character, because there was one of them was actually trying out too, and I think he was one of the guys who was doing like the tackling on them in that episode. But it was just so much fun, because yeah, when I saw the finished product, and that acid trip thing was just fucking incredible.
Chaos. It was
great.
Yeah, it was incredible. It was great.
So yeah, I mean, as far as one of my favorite shows, that one's up there, because of the fact that you don't see that kind of camaraderie. And that's like the same thing in wrestling, right? You know, camaraderie is so important to having a good product a lot of times. Otherwise it's polished and whatnot, but you as a viewer don't have as much fun, I think. You know,
completely agree. I heard a story about Motley Crue's last tour, about how they were kind of all doing it for the money, and they had their set list, and they did the same exact set list every single show for the tour, didn't deviate from it at all. They had it like down to a T, and the shows are great, right? That's still Motley Crue performing their hits, but how much better would it have been to see them back in the 80s when they were all fired up and like really just vibing together and having a great time, right? It's still good, but I totally agree. It's not going to be the same.
Well, you know, you put Aerosmith, that was like, their whole thing is when they start having tension, they start sucking on stage. It's really bad. Right. But when they're clicking and everyone's cool and on the same page, they're the same guys they were back in the early 70s, just trying to start out. You know, they're having fun. And that's a very great point with Motley Crue on that last tour. I heard the same thing, where it was just kind of like very sterile.
Yep.
And it's like, yep. You know, that's why I see Tool all the time if I can, you know, if they're around, because they don't perform a lot because of the fact that they take just so much time. They have other projects they like to do. So when they come and they do a show, you know you're getting their fucking heart into it. And that's amazing.
And their music is so complex anyways that they have to spend a lot of time on it. It's appreciated by everyone who listens to Tool, you know, and that's part of their allure, I suppose you could say, is the complexity of the music and how much time they put towards it.
Yeah, absolutely. King Lucky, anything you got?
Yeah, I'm just going to put you on the spot real quick. You know, you're maybe two or three talents that you see out there right now. It could be at a big promotion. It could be on the indies, but just a few of them that you actually like, you know, there's a lot of people you don't like.
Yeah.
But the few
people that I like so far.
Yeah.
So I was able to watch Jordan Cruz last night, and I think he's got a good look. He looks like a man. What a concept in the wrestling business. he's got a great physique, great look. I was impressed by that last night. One person that I really enjoyed watching is Eli Drake. I think his stuff is good, and you might see a theme with the people that I appreciate. They're all kind of manly people.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really like those guys. I mean, Hammerstone, you have to. What else can be said about him that hasn't been said already? He's as he likes to say, the cream of the crop, and he's risen to the top. So, he's awesome. And those are the three that come to mind off the top of my head right away.
What are your thoughts on Graves?
Graves is a maniac. I had the opportunity. He was helping out with training early on in my, when I was getting started, and still comes around a little bit too. What he brings to the table is so invaluable. It's he has a different perspective than everyone, and is really, really good at articulating everything that he's talking about, which is, so it's good to hear things from another perspective, but sometimes people don't articulate those perspectives well. But he's so clear and uses such good analogies, metaphors, examples when he's explaining things, that it's like light bulbs going off every 5 minutes when he's coming to talk to you. And so I think Graves is incredible, and he's awesome. It's too bad he doesn't wrestle more, but I know he's a world champion black belt in jiu-jitsu, so he's doing just fine.
For the people that are listening to this and not watching it, you got a map behind you. If you could pick five places that you'd want to either travel to or wrestle in, you know, it could be domestic, you know, international, where would that be?
Ooh, okay. I would like to wrestle in Europe. Gallo has wrestled in Europe, and he's told me some really great stories about that, about his experiences over there and the different style of wrestling. So he specifically talks about Germany quite a bit, being wrestling Fit Finley over there and a couple other guys, who was really, really eye-opening for him and a really great experience. So I would like that, maybe there, England. I would like to wrestle more in Mexico. I've wrestled once in Mexico before, Mexicali, so I don't know how much you count that. I would like that opportunity. That'd be nice. And if something came up in Japan, that would be awesome. I've never been a huge fan of I've never really watched a lot of Japanese wrestling. If the opportunity came up, I would be elated to do that. I've just always been more for me, WWE is the pinnacle. That's what I've spent a lot of time watching. In my earlier days, now I have, my horizons are a lot more broad, but happy to wrestle in Japan. And then, man, as far as traveling, just to travel, I've always wanted to go to Scandinavia. So I have a lot of Norwegian in me. And so going back there and seeing the country that my ancestors came from, the Vikings, would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
And one other place, gosh, I don't know. Maybe Greece or Australia, somewhere with a nice beach, pretty girls.
Yeah,
dude,
where I can get a good tan and eat great food and enjoy the scenery.
I'll tell you right now, Australia. I was lucky enough to win a trip to Australia on a game show back in 2003. So we went to Australia in early 2004, and we were there 2 weeks. We did Sydney for a week, and then Cairns, which is we got to snorkel in the Great Barrier Reef, and my God, you just nailed it. Pretty women, beautiful, beautiful beaches, Bondi Beach. Oh my God, getting a chance to my buddy took a surf class because he's really into surfing. I love watching surfers, so it's cool to see that kind of stuff. But the coolest, weirdest thing is that we were on a boat that came with the trip, and it was just kind of a boat around the like you got to see all the sights of Sydney, Australia. There's the Opera House, there's the bridge, blah blah blah. And on this boat, we go on the deck and we're, looking at stuff. And out of nowhere, these like 25 Japanese tourists start coming up to me and they give my buddy their cameras and they start taking pictures with me. I have no idea why, other than I had a shaved bald head, a goatee, sunglasses, I'm wearing a Triple H tank top. So and a New York Yankees a jersey open. So unless I personified Americana, that's the only thing I could think of, is because it's like I'm not famous, you don't know me. But yeah, come on in. And I've got these pictures with me and these Japanese people.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, for all I know, in Japan, I might be a cult hero,
You're a celebrity.
You just don't know.
Yeah.
We need these pictures up. We need these pictures so we can
I gotta
post them.
find, yeah.
Yeah.
I wish back then we had camera phones that had capabilities like now, but of course,
Right.
it's all like I gotta find the shit. But
Yeah. See, I wonder, like, that story, I've heard a couple other instances of, like, bigger white dudes kind of like attracting Japanese, Chinese, whatever people. Like Hammerstone told me a story when he was in Japan about how like they were, him and his buddy were squatting and they were like putting on plates, putting on plates, putting on plates, and everyone, and like even the clerk at the counter were like wide-eyed kind of watching them do this, and it was like a spectacle, like the big jack white dudes are squatting. But I wonder what would happen if we did the same thing in reverse? If we were in Japan and we ran up to a group of Japanese people and we're like, "Ha, take our picture." We get smacked.
Would be awesome.
Yeah.
Just random people like eating food at a dinner table. Oh, wait. Can you take a picture with me? Take a picture with
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it would work. Who knows? I don't know. If you ever try it, you'll have to let me know how it goes.
Well, I just think of that makes me think of Jackass 2, I think it
Yeah.
was, is when they did this stuff in Japan. I know it was some of the funniest shit I think I've ever seen because of the fact that they literally were turning the tables by doing crazy shit, and you just see these Japanese people just like, what the fuck?
Right. I know.
Yeah, I can't wait to see. I think if you get a chance to go to Japan, I think that your first of all, your learning will, expand a lot, but also your look and style
Yeah.
would definitely gain the attention of the Japanese fans, I believe. Because you have the golden god look,
Keep it coming. Yeah, my ego doesn't need it, but it always helps.
But you gotta make sure you take the robe. That's the most important thing.
Oh, the robe's with me at all times. Yeah, the robe will be there. Don't worry. And I'll give them that nice show of abs when I open it up too. Need to figure out a way to like install lights into the inside of the robe so they're light showing
Oh
abs
my
when I open it
God.
up.
Oh jeez, that would be fucking
Golden
amazing.
abs.
Right.
I'm
Like,
sure
I
you
don't
can get a seamstress to put that together for you.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, I was kind of like thinking a reverse of Jericho's old jackets, right? Like, have all
Right.
those limelights on the inside, so then they just like, and then have the sound with it, the like, something like that. Could look into that.
Well,
I like.
I just and thinking and again, I love the character so much because it is a throwback to, like you said, what you perceive as a wrestler as compared to, someone who is,},          ![                                   װ================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================�================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================![ like you said, 5'10", 135 pounds, flipping around and doing stuff like that.
Right.
However, do not ever let Vince McMahon know that you're a doctor, or else your career is over with the WWE and the doctor gimmick.
Yeah. I know. I know. Yeah. So yeah, we'll see.
I just see them. Yeah. Just going, well, he's already a doctor.
You're a doctor, pal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give me the old, 50s little stethoscope and the machine or whatever. Yeah.
Oh man. Well, as we wrap up, class, is there something that people don't know about you that you'd like the general population to know?
Oh man. Well, I kind of put it all out there, I'm really good looking. I'm in great shape. I dress well. I think one thing I'd like everyone to know is that don't approach me and ask for a photo for free. That drives me up the wall. Why would I spend my time to give you a photo? Quick story about that.
Yeah.
So that WrestlePro show that happened in Alaska.
Yeah.
I was kind of on the middle of the card somewhere, and so for the main event, I had some friends that were there, and one of them was up high watching it. So I went up and watched it with him, and we were sitting there talking, and this little boy, he was probably 4 or 5 years old, and his mom walked up and he was like, "Oh, can I have your autograph and a picture?" And I said, "Give me $5 and then yes." And his mom was like, "Come on, just do it." And I said, "Absolutely not. Why? I'm with someone right now. No, give me $5 and you got it." And she grabbed her son and walked away. And I think it's a respect thing. I think my time is very valuable. I charge a lot of money for people to see me for 45 minutes. And so for you to just sneak in there and try to get a free picture, I don't think so. So please have some respect. And if you're gonna ask for a picture or an autograph, earn it.
and please remember, if you are approaching class and you do have a kid along, don't say anything about Santa Claus, because I'm pretty sure.
You know how that's going to go.
Yeah. Awesome, brother. You know what? We really appreciate this, man. Again, we just like kind of chilling out and, shooting the shit. And I'm sure, I know that when you guys come into Vegas, it's a quick turnaround to get back to Arizona and stuff. But if you ever are in town where you have a little bit of time before show or whatever, and you want to get a meal or, after the show, get drinks or whatever, just let us know, brother. We'd appreciate that.
Yes, sir. I really appreciate you guys having me on, and this was a lot of fun, just like what you said. And I appreciate you reaching out and giving the time. So it was a lot of fun, guys. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Real quick before you go, how can people find you?
Oh, I'm on Instagram at I Am Class. I'm on Twitter at I Am Class. I have a Facebook page, Christopher Landon Anthony Streeter. I've got a YouTube channel, Christopher Landon Anthony Streeter. Or you can tune into the Arizona Pro Wrestling Training Facility page on Facebook. And I'm usually rolling through there as well.
And just so people know, Class is spelled C-L-A-S. If you put an extra S on it, you're the one who's the ass. So
exactly. And like I tell people, the reason I don't have the S, that's my father, Christopher Landon Anthony Streeter Sr. And that motherfucker put me through hell. I don't know if I think Don touched on my jet ski story with him. We'll save that for another day, but that's just one of the many turmoils he put me through when I was growing up. So I leave that S off for him.
Awesome, brother. And thank you guys for tuning in, listening. Please also download, subscribe, review, share, and watch all the things that we have for the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. And if you're in the Vegas area or you're in the Arizona area, please check out Class if he's wrestling on a card. Also, keep your eyes peeled. He might make his way to California. And elsewhere. So I encourage you, if you want to see someone who really is a person you got to keep your eyes on. Please, please, just start following class now and say that you were there at the beginning, man, because in 5 years or so, you're going to be going, yeah, I knew that motherfucker back when he was, you know, class with one S. All right, everybody, till next time, thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you later.
Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.